We're going to study a parable of priorities today. A parable of priorities from the book of Haggai. Haggai. In the Old Testament. On page 1603 in my Bible. Where it is in yours, no telling. I remember Brother Reed used to preach down there in Bellflower, California, and many of the church members had the same Bible he did, so he could say, well, turn to this page. And so they would go there to that page. Haggai is a happy prophet. He's a happy prophet. Haggai was a happy prophet because the people did what he said. Many of the prophets, when they told them something, what'd they do? They killed them, beat them up, run them off, whatever. Haggai was a happy prophet because his name means happy, festival, food, party time. Because he was happy when God's people did what God's message was given to them. And that doesn't always happen, does it? You preach and sometimes they hear, sometimes they don't hear. Haggai.
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah didn't want that. I mean, everybody listened to him, but he was unhappy.
Yeah.
He was unhappy. He didn't want to be happy. He didn't want those people to be saved. Now, Haggai is happy. Now, in 586 B.C., the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. Israel had been taken off into captivity, what we call the Assyrian captivity. We have Judah taken off into Babylon and the Babylonian captivity. We have Daniel and all of his buddies over there. They were neutered. They were used as, well, what we call entertainers. They entertained them, seeing these Jewish boys, things. And we have a whole book of Daniel telling all about that. These people were dehumanized and everything. Haggai was born during that period of time, many people believe. He was born during that time. So now he's over there in Babylon. And Babylon, the nation of Babylon, the empire of Babylon, was overthrown by Cyrus the Great in 539 A.D. Now, in 538 A.D., now remember, you get 1,000 B.C. over here, and everything this way is going down over here to what we call A.D., after the Lord comes. All of this is 1,000, 900, 800, 600, 500. So as you see these numbers going downhill, it's going this way, okay? The Cyrus the Great decreed allowing the exiles to return to Jerusalem and build the temple. Now God had written Cyrus's name in the Bible over 100 years before he was born. Mm-hmm. And he called Cyrus his elect. Now God elects us, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. To do certain things. God elects us. So he elected him, and the word Cyrus... Brother Ray, this is going to be this is the word in Greek for Cyrus, basically. What does that mean? What is this? Marilyn? What is that word? Sharon, you know that word? That's Kyrios. Kyrios, mm-hmm. Cyrus, Kyrios. Kyrios means what?
Lord.
Lord, master. Okay, so this is the way they spelled Cyrus, and many people say that his name meant that. It's a Persian word, though. Cyrus means Lord. It also means far-sighted. Did God pick him out a long time before he was born? Wrote his name down in the Bible? That just blew Cyrus away. Here's my name in the Bible before I was ever born, before I ever had this empire, that I'm going to conquer this nation, and God's going to use me. So what did he do? He said, well, I'm not going to let that be fulfilled. He said, let's go. He did it. It means sun throne, also they say, sun throne. And it also means young and strong. As I watched you up here, I saw your abilities and your youth. Vincent, just your mind, your youth. I saw that. That's what Cyrus means. It means young and virile and powerful and strong. Like a young person. Young. I remember when I was young. I could just do all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, that I can't do today at all. Now, this book is written to the people living in Jerusalem. But it also can be applied to our lives today secondarily. The purpose is to call the people back to God. They're living there. They're naming the name of God. They're having church services, so to speak. They're having temple services and everything. But they're doing their own thing. They're not doing God's will. They're doing their own things. Now, 2,500 years before we live today, 2,500 years ago this happened. This is what took place 2,500 years ago. There are things that happened then that apply to our lives today so much. Let's look and see what it says here. He's the first post-exile prophet. Post-exile. What's that mean? After the exile. In other words, they're coming home. Did all those Jews go home? No. They were comfortable. They stayed there. They didn't go home. Some of those magi, the word magi, you heard about the three magi and everything. There could be 300 magi, there could have been 40 magi, there could have been 3,000 magi that came to Jesus when he was born. These were some of the people. Those people stayed there and they talked about the scriptures and the fulfillment of the scriptures. They knew exactly the day that Jesus was supposed to be born. They knew exactly the day Daniel had prophesied the exact day when Jesus would walk in and cleanse the temple. He knew the day it was going to happen. Now, priorities, a parable of priorities. That's what it's called to. In the second year of King Darius. Darius, now there's a name also. It means self-informed. Remember Darius Sherwood Madden, Brother Ray? You remember old Darius? Darius Sherwood, D.S. Madden.
Oh.
Yeah. Darius, now... That name means self-informed. It means to possess good. And it also means to preserve. God used him to preserve his people. God used him to preserve his people. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, this gives exact timing, doesn't it? The word of the Lord... The edict of the Lord of Jehovah came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel, how do anybody know what in the world, what does Zerah mean? You remember that, Sharon, Zerah?
Seed.
Seed of what? Babel. All right, he's born in Babel. This is the Babel, seed of Babel, okay? Seed of Babel, son of Shealtiel. And that word Shealtiel means God has heard or God has heard me or whatever. And then governor of Judea. Now Zerubbabel is governor of Judea. This is the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Like a prince, ruler. And Joshua, the son of Jehoshaphat. And Joshua, we know what that means. That means Jehovah saves. Joshua, that's Jesus' name. Right there, Joshua and Jesus, same name. Son of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means that God brings forth justice, or God will give justice. Jehovah will, that is. The high priest. Then it says here, this is what Jehovah Sabaoth says. Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth means the Lord of armies. The one that the Lord that possesses all of the angelic and spiritual armies of the whole universe. Okay? So God is using Haggai to give some real important information. And one thing he wants them to know, that this is the God that possesses all the wealth of the world and all the powers. All these other little imps are out there. He's allowing this to happen. We have God's direct will and we have God's permissive will. God is permitting these people to rise and to fall. He chose Cyrus, didn't he? He chose Darius for a reason. For a reason. Let's see what happens here. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Why? Well, they've been there. They came in 536 BC and they began to build the temple. They quit. By 530, they just gave up and went away. And one of the reasons they gave up and quit is because the people that were there, some of them were old enough to remember the glory of that original temple, and they were all depressed.
Yep.
So we'll never do it. We can't do it. And they finally just, the old people usually lead the young people, don't they? And fire them up. The old people fire up the young people. But these old people were not firing up the young people. They were throwing wet blankets on them. They were stopping them. And the young people were saying, well, we've got other things to do with our lives. We'll just go do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. And there what he says, you have planted. Let's go back up there. I jumped down. The people who said the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the edicts of Jehovah came through the prophet Haggai. The edicts of Jehovah in verse number 2. And thus says Amer, thus says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, saying, Leomer, saying, Ha'am, the people this, Ha'am Hazeh, the people this, they keep on saying, it's not time to build a house. Not time. The people keep on saying this. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? That means your luxurious houses. The houses were made out of stone, weren't they? But inside, stone's cold, so they would put wood paneling in the inside to make it more warm and comfortable and everything. Okay, this is luxurious homes now, luxurious homes. While this house remains in ruin, remains in absolute shambles, in rubble, destroyed. They had come there, they're having their services, they're going home and they're living in these luxurious homes, and then they're coming to church or to assemble in a shamble of a place. So they don't even want to go there, they just meet outside of it. They won't go in it, they're just meeting around there. And it just depresses me to go in there. I've read this. I've been studying this sermon for 3 weeks. And I was going to preach it on the parable study. And then I kept saying, this is me. This is that church. This is us. 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 You came to New Hope after it was built. Didn't you, brother? Right. It already had the pretty carpet in, already had the drop ceiling, it already had the blue carpet and the blue seats and all that, the baptistry and everything. Well, I was there and built it. It was a rat's nest, two old barracks stuck together, just a shambles, with a wooden splintered floor and all that, with theater seats and whatever we could throw in there. And we began to build it, began to build it. And you were there when it was built. Then we went all our ways, didn't we? And this is all that's left of it right here, basically. This is what's left of it. This is it. All these years, God preserved it for today. For today.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird. This is really weird. This is like, I don't know, like these dreams, TV shows,
yes,
and stuff.
Ordinary.
Give careful thought to your ways, he says. Give careful thought. What it means is put your whole heart, your whole essence of your being. It's the word lav in Hebrew there. It means pour all of your thoughts right inside right now. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here to this day? Why are you here this day? I always said a lot of times, do the best and do exactly what God wants you to do today, and tomorrow He'll get you where you want, He wants you to be, and this is where He wants us to be. Right here. We were doing everything until this time, till this very day. Give careful thought. Put your whole heart on what you're going to do now. You have planted much, and you have harvested little. You eat, but you have never enough. You drink, you never have feel. You put clothes on, but they are not warm. You earn wages, and only to put them in your pockets got a hole in it. That's what it literally says. Your pockets got a hole in it. Let's look and go look at some of these things. You planted much, and you harvest little. I've lived lifetimes in my life. Lifetimes, not lifetime. Lifetimes. And I spent a lot of my lifetime studying God's Word. And I think He added lifetimes to me because I shouldn't be here at all. I know that. So God has kept me alive for this reason, for this purpose, for this now. That I know. I've lived these lifetimes, and I spent a lot of time, 18 years, Marilyn and I have been married, and she just thinks I spend too much time studying God's Word and dealing with God's people. She said, that's all you ever do. No, I do other things too. But I'll tell you what, it takes up a whole lot of my time, because that's what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. He wants me to do. I do some other things, yes, but I think these lifetimes have been added to me because I've done these other things. My son wrote a card to me, my oldest boy wrote a card to me a while back. He said, Dad, you spent your whole life serving other people. That was a birthday card or something. He sent you a whole life serving people all your life. Take it easy, Dad. He called me on the phone the other day. He said, Dad, you're 70 years old and you're stretched out from Old River to Oildale to Tehachapi and Fish Lake Valley. He said, when people get old, they're supposed to slow down a little bit. He said, what's wrong with you? You're speeding up. I'm speeding up over the finish line. I don't know how long I got, but I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. I got dreams and trying to fulfill those dreams. And like Caleb says, give me that mountain. Boy, what a deal. He's 80 years old. This only 10 years older than me, but he was probably in a lot better shape. A lot better shape. Give careful thought. Keep on your mind and your heart. Put your mind on this. You planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You're eating, you're skinny. Have you ever seen somebody eat like a horse and it made them poor? They ate so much it made them poor. That they ate so much that it used up so much energy that it made them poor to pack it, skinny to pack it around. You've seen people that eat and eat and eat and eat and they never put on a pound. You're envious of them sometimes. But this says, back then, if a person was a little plump and fat, God was gracious to them. A guy told me one time, he said, if a man's 60 years old and he's not got a paunch on him, he's a failure. Yeah. He hadn't done anything. Yeah. He hadn't produced enough to eat and get fat. And those women back then that these guys married, if they were fat, they were proud of them because they were fat. I got enough to feed my wife and make her fat. These poor little skinny gals run around. Their husbands couldn't feed them. See, that was being fat. In the Bible where it says fat, 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 fat. This is an asset in those days.
Well, I'm growing in leaps and bounds then.
He said, you drink and you never have your fill. You put clothes on and you're not warm. You earn wages and your pocket's got a hole in it. I preached one time. I think at New Hope, your pocket's got a hole in it a long time ago. They wanted me to preach on tithing back then. They told me to do that back then. They did. I don't know whether you remember that or not. They said, preach on tithing. Mm-hmm. We never had a church offering anything. We didn't owe any money to anybody. And we always had money in the bank to do whatever we needed. You know why? Because we had our priorities straight. They just did it. One time we had a missionary come in there and we were going to take an offering. We didn't have an offering plate at all. We had to go in a church the kitchen back there and get a pot and pass the pot around. It works. If you don't give of your time and your money, God can't bless you. You're cutting him off from your life. And I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here like they do all over, you know, the pie in the sky and all that kind of baloney. If you don't give to God, how do you expect God to bless you? How do you accept it? If you don't tithe, that's the beginning of all things. Tithing is the beginning, isn't it? Tithing is the beginning and say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford this. You can't afford not to. How can God bless you if you don't? How can he bless you if you don't? How can he? What was wrong? What did God tell Cain in the garden? If you tithe and you do what is right, your face will shine. You'll be happy. If you don't, you're going to have a red nose. You're going to be mad. That's the first thing he said. You cut straight. The Greek word translated there is ortho. That's the word cut straight. Rightly dividing the word of God, rightly cutting straight. If you divide rightly, that first tithe is not yours. And they tithed in the garden before the law, and they tithed after the garden, after the law. And they tithed during the law, and they tithed in the New Testament. And who do we tithe to today? All of them tithed to the high priest, didn't they? Who is our high priest? Who do we tithe to?
Jesus.
Jesus. And the book of Hebrews tells you that. Mm-hmm. We do that. We give to the Lord. We give. Give and see what happens. Don't give and see what happens. It'll never be enough. You don't give, you'll never have enough. If you give, God will bless you. He can't bless you unless you give. You don't give, you won't get a blessing. You don't give of your time, you don't get a blessing. You don't. I loved your piano playing today. I miss that piano playing. You spent time doing that, didn't you? Playing, learning to play that piano. Playing that guitar and everything. You learn, you give time, and that's glorifying God in it. You could be doing it out doing other things. I'm always around, I've been around country and western music entertainers all of my life. I work on their guitars and their banjos and their violins and fiddles and bass guitars and banjos, guitar, anything, whatever they had, I worked on it. I put 5 strings on fiddles for 2 or 3 different people. And they played these things. Sometimes the Cousin Herb Show, the last song they played on the Cousin Herb Show was a Christian hymn, a gospel hymn. Every time old Cousin Herb would do that. He always let God have his time, and God blessed that man. He just was an unusual being. And everybody, almost in Bakersfield, almost everybody had enemies except for Red Simpson and Cousin Herb. And those people never did a person wrong in their life. And the last things that, some of the last songs that Red Simpson wrote were gospel songs. My brother did some of those. Pray Every Day. That's one of the albums that he did. Let the Lord bless you. Allow him to bless you. Give of your time and give of your money. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from this. You earn wages and only put them in your pockets with holes in them. Actually, it says that your pockets don't have a bottom to them. They're just holes. They're just nothing but a hole. And you put it in there, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. I know people that make lots of money. They don't even own a house or anything. They spend all their money on the high life. Their pocket's got a hole in it. And some people, some Christians, they won't give to the Lord and their pocket's got a hole in it. You don't give in your life and your lives are shortened. Your lives are wasted on yourself. Don't waste your life on yourself. Put it in your savings account, in your retirement account. That's the retirement. This says, or thus says, what the Almighty says, Jehovah El Shaddai, or Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth. Give carefully to your thoughts. Take this to heart. It keeps saying love. It keeps saying take it to heart. Put this in your heart. Let your whole being concentrate. Let your heart, Let your desire concentrate on this one thing. Put your heart's desire to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down your timber and build your houses so that you make pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord, says Jehovah. You expected much, but see if it turned out to be little. You want to cut your wages? Don't give. You want to cut your lifetime? God leaves you here to do something. Sometimes people spend their whole lives on themselves and nothing. Make a difference in the world with your life. Make somebody remember you for 50 years. How many people do you remember that have been dead 50 years ago? Foof. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is remembered, isn't he? Yeah. And that man was so mentally ill, and so he had such terrible depression that 50% of the time when they called on him to preach in the biggest church in England, he couldn't even fill the pulpit. He couldn't go. But when he did, he got with it. Abraham Lincoln, a man that had manic depression so bad, but what did God do with him? Do you remember him? He's on all your pennies, isn't he? He did something. What you brought home, I blew away. Why declares the Lord God, the Jehovah because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of that, the heavens have been withheld their due, and the earth is crops. You know, the best way to get poor is don't give to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Don't give. If you want to be poor, don't give. That's it. Don't give. You remember the widow with Elijah? She always had oil and she always had flour. You hear these prosperity gospel preachers preaching this, and I said, now you give me money, and now you give me money, and now you send me, and God will and cast your bread upon the waters and all of this. You know, you hear that. That's a perversion of the gospel. Amen. But there's truth in all of it. Amen. There's truth in Jehovah's Witness, even than that. Their assembly halls, that is truth. Their idea of God is total false, a total blasphemy. But they got that one thing right, the assembly hall. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain and on the new wine and the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of their hands. Then Zerubbabel, remember what that means, seed of Babel, son of Shealtiel, God has heard. And then Joshua, of course that's Jehovah saved. And then Jehoshadak, and then we have Jehovah's judgment, the high priest and the whole. And these people are all there, weren't they? They were going through the motions, but they weren't doing anything. And God had withheld. These people were preaching to the people, but God wasn't blessing them. He wasn't blessing. They didn't have the right message. They had a message, but they didn't have the right message. People are going to church all over the land today, cults and isms and everything you can think of. The whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of their God. And the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. What do you think about that? Did they want to hear that message? They hadn't been hearing it for a long time, but when he preached it, was he a happy prophet? Was he a happy preacher? He became a happy prophet because they heard. That was, his name was prophesied. He was born over there in Babylon, out of the land of Israel, but God named him the happy prophet, the garden. Because God had sent him and the people feared the Lord. The people respected the Lord. The people heard the Lord. The people reverenced the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord, so that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Look at that. The governor, the high priest, all of them now get on the same track. Now they're going to do something for the Lord. For years they haven't done a thing. But now they're on fire. The God built a fire under them because of Haggai, the son of Shealtiel. governor of Judea, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord, Jehovah Sabaoth, their God. The word their God, Elohimu, that's very good. That's the God of us. And that's in the genitive case, Sharon. What's genitive case mean?
It belongs.
He belongs to us. This God belongs to us. We belong to him and he belongs to us. Did the Lord save your soul?
Yes.
Then you belong to him. And then it tells that on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. Now look at this. Now God's going to give him another message. This is his second sermon now. The second sermon. This first message wasn't too long, was it? Just had a little short for your words, but they listened to every one of them. They listened to every word. Now I said, now listen again. On the 25th day of the 7th month, that's October, 520 B.C., okay? At the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor. Talk to the governor first. Talk to the ruler first. And to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and ask them, who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? Now I ask them. They're still depressed. They're still depressed. How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like it's nothing? Nothing. Just nothing. Seem like nothing. But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. This here, the Lord is saying, I'm giving an edict, I'm giving another prophecy. Prophesy as the Lord. The Lord is prophesying this. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people in the land, declares the Lord. And work. And work. That was on the next page. And work. And what? Work. That is a four-letter word. A lot of people think that is a terrible, blasphemic word. They don't want to say that word. Work. Work. People like to play, but they don't like to work. Mm-hmm. I always used to tell people, and I tell them from the pulpit back 35, 40 years ago, I said, if you want to be happy, find yourself a job you love and do it, and it'll be like going on a vacation.
That's true.
Man, do something you love. Pick out something you really love. Make your hobby your occupation. How about that, Vincent? Do you think that's a pretty good idea?
Well, I found a hobby that I'm working on my occupation.
Yeah.
So...
that's right. You enjoy
right,
it.
You're right.
You look forward to going to work, don't you?
Right.
You know anybody that's a carpenter that loves it? Huh? They love it. They love to see what happens. They love to see what they produce. This is very gratifying. How about an artist that works? They like to see their work. Not so much paying you by the hour and just painting and doing things. By producing something that you really are proud of. Photographs. A photographer. Producing photographs. A carpenter producing houses. There's a guy up there in Fish Lake Valley, Clay. He loves to build houses. He built this one house and they turned him loose on it. And he just built the most weird looking fantastic stuff you ever saw in your life. He's got an old tree trunk, stump. A limb coming up out of the floor holding up a basin. In the bathroom. The weirdest looking things here. Something coming out of the wall holding up this. Like it was growed, like it grew there. Boy, he loves this. That guy loves to do carpenter work. He just loves to create. He made his own bed. He just created that bed. And it's unusual. Unusual, but that's what his mind. And he's just loving what he's doing. He just can't do enough of it. He's just getting out there, just working, doing all these creations.
A lady asked me to build her a tree house. She
yeah.
says, I only want it 3 feet off the ground and the rest is up to you. And I went,
oh boy. Oh boy.
Yes.
This is what I love. This is my job. I love it.
Yes.
Do it. Do what you love and you'll be happy. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth. This is what I cut with you. This is the deal I cut with you. That's exactly what it says. This is the deal I cut with you. I'm going to cut a deal with you, he said. Literally, I'm going to cut a deal. That's Barit means to cut. I'm cutting a deal with you right now. When you come out of Egypt, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do not fear anybody. I'm Jehovah Sabaoth, okay? Don't fear anything. Don't fear all the obstacles that you have in front of you. Don't fear anything. I'm with you. Just do it. I'm cutting a deal with you. Just do it. This is the Lord Almighty. This is Jehovah Sabaoth that says this. The Lord of all the armies, the Lord of all the universe. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth. The sea and the dry land, I will shake all the nations. He said, I can stir up the world. I can stir up the heavens. Talk about earthquakes. I will shake all the nations. And all the desired of all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. For the last 20 years, I've been preaching in a church that grew up from like 5,000 to 10,000 people. As it grew, the practices were changing. It was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The music program changed, and I kept getting more and more depressed with this situation. But I kept on preaching the truth, preaching the truth, preaching the truth, preaching the truth. Because I knew if I preached the truth and I did what God wanted me today, tomorrow He'd have me where He wanted me. And He did. And this is precious, I can tell you. This is precious beyond anything that I can see. Have any of you ever seen a perfect diamond? Have you? You know what a perfect diamond is? You know what one is? That's the one you can look underneath a magnifying glass for several power, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 power or whatever, and you can't see a flaw in it. That's a perfect diamond. And a perfect diamond just magnifies light. That throne that the throne of God is on is a perfect diamond underneath it. You have to pay a lot of money for perfect diamonds. A lot of money for perfect diamonds. A perfect diamond may be very small. And you may have a 1-carat diamond over here, and the perfect diamond is more valuable than that big 2-carat diamond. Because it's got milk in it or something that is not pure and clear. This is the perfect diamond. This is the perfect diamond. You are the perfect diamond. You're God's diamond. You're God's diamond. He's still working with you and polishing you. Give your life to Him. Give your life to Him. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. All the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, says the Lord. It's mine. Says the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth. He's using these terms for a reason, people. That he's telling, I am the God of all glory. I am the God, the most powerful force in the universe. Not the gods of Babel, not Nebuchadnezzar's God, not any of these other gods. I am the God that rules all of them. I am the one that put them in place. I am the one that shuffles the deck. I am the one that throws the cards. I am the one that causes all these things to happen and allows these things to happen. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. What do you think about that? Do you get along pretty good here? I remember that church that I resigned. It was over 300 people in it. And boy, did they fight. I preached the truth to them. But man, they fought themselves to death, didn't they, brother?
Yes, they did.
The cream of the crop. The pure diamonds are left. And don't be depressed by the smallness of this little chapel. It's God's chapel. It's not yours. That place up there in Fish Lake Valley, it's not my place. I've had trouble. The devil doesn't want me there. That's all I can say. And stir up all these problems and everything else, just one after another. But guess what? Somehow or another, we do it. Mm-hmm. I preached 20 sermons on that creek. And the people are hearing the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The whole gospel of God. They're hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I preach a sermon, it just begins there. It goes all over the world. And it's heard here and there and everywhere, all over. He said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I already know that. The spirit of unity is totally here. There's one purpose in it. Boy, that's a diamond perfection. That's the perfect diamond. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? All the church letters in the New Testament are written to churches to get them straightened out with all the problems they have. They weren't diamonds. There are a lot of chipping going on. Well, the Lord did a lot of chipping to find that perfect part, didn't he? And in this place, I will grant peace. Oh, isn't that wonderful? What does shalom mean? You remember that, Marilyn? Shalom.
Agreement.
What?
Agreement.
Agreement.
Amen.
It doesn't mean peace. It means agreement. When you agree with God, you got peace. Homologia, that's the word you were looking for that earlier. The confession. When you say the same thing that God already knows, then you have peace. When you confess. When you are on God's time. When you're on God's clock. You put your time card in God's clock. You have peace.
I thought that on Thursday, Bible study.
Yeah. And this place I will grant peace, declares Jehovah Sabaoth. Now December in 500, December the 24th. This is right before Christmas as we see today. This is a Christmas Eve message that he's going to preach here. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what Jehovah Sabaoth says. Remember, he's using this term for a reason. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat into the fold of his garment, and the fold touches some bread or stew, some wine or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest said, no! And then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body and touches of these things, does it not become defiled? Well, I'll tell you what, you got to really watch out what diseases and viruses and bacteria you come in with today. Very careful. Does it become defiled? And the law of Moses, you know, protected us from this stuff a long time ago. There were viruses back then. Viruses are what? Fallen life forms. Mm-hmm. Bacteria is fallen life forms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer is defiled. If you don't do it on my times, on my terms, it's profane. If you serve the Lord exactly like you know that He wants you to serve, then you're doing it God's way, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's right. You're doing it God's way. Do what He wants. Do it the right way. Do you know the right way? Do you know the right way? Do you know the right way? Then why don't you do it? If you know the right way, why don't you do it? Now give careful thought. And what does this mean? Put all of the desires of your heart in this. To this, from this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in Lord's temple, in Jehovah's temple. What does Lord Jehovah mean? He who shall become, all of this portrayed, this Jehovah, Sabaoth, this is the one that's going to come and build the right temple, which you're part of today. You're that perfect diamond, that right temple. He came to build this church here. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give put your whole heart's desire, the law, the whole heart's desire, is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day onward, I want to tell you, because you've done what I said, I will bless you. If you want God to bless you, you've got to do what He wants you to do. You've got to do it. And now look at what He says. From this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai the second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judea, that I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overrun royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms, and I will overthrow chariots and their drivers and their horses, and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. I'm going to choose you. I have chosen you. I have elected you, declares the Lord. And I will make you like a signet ring. What does that mean?
Authority, power.
That's right. That's all authority. Thou art Peter. You are Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundation rock I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. After you've been cast out into the world, what do? Make disciples. You take the disciples and you baptize them. And then you teach them to guard with their lives all things that I've given you, and lo, I'm with you until the end of this age. And we're pretty close to the end of it. Let's get busy. Let's get with it. You're not on vacation. Get with it. Get with it. Get with it. Put your card in God's time clock. I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares Jehovah Sabaoth. I have chosen you, says the Lord Sabaoth. What are you going to do with him? How are you going to answer him? I went over this message. I was going to preach it on Chattavich Creek to those lizards up there. They listen, don't they, Marilyn? Yeah. They come out and listen to me, and the chipmunks and all of them, they'll just come out there and just watch me preach. And whoever else is there. I don't know where all this stuff goes. Some of those sermons were the most downloaded sermons that I have. The cowboys. And the one elected and predestined and foreordained. Well, you've been elected, predestined, and foreordained, people. Have you not?
No.
He knew your names. He knew your name, and he wrote it in the Lamb's book a long time ago. In space and time, you asked the Lord to forgive you. And in space and time, you were baptized, and you joined with scriptural baptism, and you joined an assembly to carry out His will. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to be on vacation? Are you just going to lay back and just let her fly, or are you going to get with it? You want the Lord to bless you? Get with it. Go lay on the couch and see what happens. Don't give and see what happens. Just check him out. He said, I cut a deal with you. God cut a deal with you. He cut a deal with you this day. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with God's deal? You going to do it your way or His way? Are you going to be part of that perfect diamond? Are you? It's up to you. Whatever you want to do with it. That's God's message. Mm-hmm. It was preached 2,500 years ago, and it got preached again today. That's His message for me and for you today. That's our message from God's Word. Mm-hmm. Vincent, what do you have?
Hymn 445. 445.
What does the Lord want from your life? Exactly what He said there. He wants your money. He wants your time. And He wants you to lay your life down for Him and say, here I am.
Amen.
He laid His life down for you, didn't He?
Yes.